All right, Ecclesiastes 9, that kind of led us to the lesson for today. Just principles for daily living, principles to live by, and that's what chapter 9, first part of the chapter, it's always, I guess, kind of not puzzled me, but I always wonder why things happen the way they do in life. As you look around and you wonder why things happen to some people they do and some people they don't, and some people seem to get away with just about anything and seem to be successful. And a lot of times people will mention politics and people that get into that and move up, move on. And you'll see somebody out, and sometimes what you might know about them is what they may own or what they may do, and may not know the person per se. I know sometimes we go to ball games, watch the girls play, used to watch Louise play, and that's how a lot of people are known. And I often stop and think about that. I thought, well, is that really how you want to be known by? But I guess that's just the way it is in this day and age or any time. Sometimes the man that's a good man is sometimes, I guess, could be overlooked or that's not seen because maybe they're in the shadows. You know, we talk about in the church sometimes somebody that maybe doesn't speak up or that seen that often, they might be the prayer warrior that no one else really knows about, but the Lord knows. And so I think about that. Then verses around number 6 or 7, as you get down through there, starts talking about the principles for living. And we'll look and see what old Solomon here says about that. I've always enjoyed reading all the Scripture, but I really think Proverbs, I've said many times, is more for daily living, I think. That's what Solomon meant for the children of Israel, said you need to take these principles and live by them. It'll make your life a lot easier sometimes. Not easier as far as labor, but just keep you out of trouble. I think Ecclesiastes is him looking back as an older man saying, well, now let me tell you why I wanted you to live that way, because here's the mistakes I've made. Here's what I've noticed. Kind of like a granddaddy would, I guess, tell the grandkids, say, these are some things you need to look out for. So we'll do that. Then there's a couple places we'll look over in the New Testament. You know, I think of Matthew, over in Matthew chapter 6, one of the first things, and this came to mind as I was thinking about this, Mr. Grizzle told me, probably the first day I ever met him, years ago, he's sick, and I jotted it down so I'd get it right, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And these things are the things that will be things you need, clothes, food, roof over your head. And don't take thought for anything else. And, you know, you think about that. Take no thought for tomorrow. In other words, don't worry about hypothetical problems. There's a God in heaven that'll take care of that for you. There's no need for you to be worried about those things. And we have a tendency to want to do that, and I know that's just our fleshly nature. And, of course, there's nothing wrong with planning. I believe in that. There's nothing wrong with trying to look ahead and plan and try to think through things as problems come up. Well, like here at the church as a whole, the church tries to plan. We try to think of, well, what does the parking lot need? Do we need a roof? Is it going to leak? Are the gutters okay? You don't wait for them to fall off during a rainstorm, then say, well, I guess we need to replace them. You know, you try to look ahead, try to take good care of what God's given us, but at the same time, you don't fret, I guess is the word I'm looking for. And I think that's why when Mr. Grizzle shared that with me, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I think that's what he was trying to pass along to me at that time. I was a young man, just moved back from Baltimore with Kim, and I think about that a lot, that those are things we don't need to. If we fretted over anything, it'd be our relationship with God, and not over material things, because God will take care of those, what we may need of, may be in need of. But anyway, I say all that. Beginning in chapter 9, let's see what Solomon has to say here, because again, I always like to look into Solomon. You can tell as you read it that it was written by a wise, wise man. And so chapter 9, verse number 1, and we won't read, but maybe verses 1 through 10, 1 through 11. And we'll get there and we'll stop and look at a couple other places and we'll be done this morning. But keep in mind, too, as you read this, take no thought for tomorrow. In other words, don't worry about those hypothetical problems. I know when that tree was down in the backyard, I got home and I saw it, and I said, well, somebody's cut the tree down in the backyard. And Jesse said, yeah, I saw it. And I texted Kim, and I said, you know the tree was down in the backyard? She goes, yeah, I saw it too. And I texted them both back, and I said, why didn't anybody tell me? And then Kim just texted back and said, it's a big mess. That's all she put. And I thought, oh, that's why Kim didn't tell me, because here's a big tree down in the backyard, and how long is it going to be down in the backyard? And but she wasn't going to get troubled about it, but it did. You know, you can imagine a tree falls, and there's this big thing. But like I said, it's not something to... I spent time twiddling my thumbs over. If it laid there for a month or two, it would have been there for a month or two, and I wasn't going to worry about that, but it got cleared up. But what I'm saying is there's so many things that we tie our time or day up that really we shouldn't. There's no big deal. And so that's what I think Solomon, he really focuses us back in Ecclesiastes on his life and how he tried everything. He had nothing that he desired was kept from him, and he really starts wrapping it up in Ecclesiastes to try to show us or demonstrate what's really important. Of course, you can look and see how he ends, and I will read chapter 9. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And that's how Solomon wraps up his books of the Bible that he's added to and he's written, and for us to keep in mind. So chapter 9, let me get to it. For all this I considered in my heart. There's Solomon. He said, all this I've considered, even to declare all this, that the righteousness and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before him. And so as you look there, it said the works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before him, or anything that is before him. In other words, it's all says, are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. In other words, it's all of God. Man had nothing to do with it in the beginning. We think we do, but we don't. Verse number 2, and I won't stop each time, I know, but again, think about it as we think of Solomon, think about how sometimes we fret over things that maybe we don't need to. All things come alike to all. And see, that's why I said these first few verses have always, I shouldn't say troubled the wrong word to use, but I've always and fascinated is the wrong word too. They've just always made me stop and think about just life, and as you look around and you wonder why some things happen here and happen there, or you see someone holding a sign at the corner asking for food or for money, but yet you or me, myself, you and I, we've just went through the drive-through and got three or four meals for our family. You know why things work the way they do anyway, and there's reasons for that. But verse number 2, all things come alike to all. But when you read that, you say, wait a second, why does that, how does that apply? But Solomon answers those questions. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, and to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun. So see, now it gets back. If you recall, when he speaks of under the sun, he just means every day. It means here. It means daily living. It means here on earth. As the days roll by, as the clock of the time ticks by, as we're here in Sunday school class, that's as under the sun. That's as our work day, so to speak. That there is one event unto all, yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. When you talk about rewards, think about accomplishments. In other words, when you die or you pass away, anything you've accomplished up to that point, that's it. You're done. You don't accomplish anything else. No more awards, no more applause, no more... thank yous, no more, you know, it's all over. And we know that. And that's what Solomon's pointing out. So when you first read this, you think, oh my, I said, boy, Solomon, he's just really, you know, you read it and read Ecclesiastes and it drags you down. But as you read on, you realize what he's trying to point out to us is there's only one thing that matters. And all this other does not. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. And we've talked about that before, the memory of them being forgotten. If you think about it, really the only ones that remember your I guess, ones that pass away is really the closest family. Grandparents, grandkids may remember them. Of course, their children remember them, and maybe a neighbor or two or something like that, or aunts and uncles or nephews and nieces. You know, close family may remember, but as time goes on, maybe something that comes up at work after, I don't know, you know, 25, 30 years later, yeah, we used to work with a lady, or there used to be a guy, what was his name, you know, and that's how life rolls on. That's how time passes away. And, you know, I try to share that with my children to let them know that I'd say, you know, you're only here for a snippet of time. And I said, if you look at the eternity, which you can see no beginning, no end, if you could look back, and look on God's timetable, there's no beginning. It'd be just empty vastness, so to speak. Not empty, but it'd be just vast space if you were to look in a direction, and any direction, that's how it would be, because with God, time is endless. So for the snapshot we have for our lives, life is like a vapor, just a very, very short period of time. And so I think about that, and I share that sometimes with people at work or something. They'll mention or be fretting over something. And, you know, it goes back to, I think, Pastor sometimes mentions something Mr. Grizzle told him. It's not going to matter in a year now, a year from now anyway. Nobody will remember. And that's true. And so a lot of things that we fret over are a lot of times that, material things that we worry about. Well, is that right to wear today? Should I buy that or should I not? You know, I was looking at a backpack that I could wear, or not wear, but put on my wheelchair that I could put my crutches in. Because I try not to use the wheelchair a lot during the week, but I have to sometimes because it's so far between the buildings. I don't have to, but it's been so hot. That's a lot, you know, several trips, and, you know, it adds up to be several city blocks, you know, three or four blocks there, three or four blocks back and forth. But if I could take my crutches, I could just use them when I got to the building. And I bet I've not fretted, but I've looked at that backpack two or three different times. Well, should I get that? Should I not? Should I get that? Well, I could put those walking sticks in there, and I'd have them with me, and I'd go back and forth. In other words, that's not a big deal. It's not going to matter if I buy it or not. A week from now, I wouldn't know the difference. A month from now, I'm not going to know the difference. In other words, we spend so much time being caught up in things that really don't matter that that's what I think Solomon is trying to point out here. It said, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Verse number 6, also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished, neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. If you were to just stop there, you'd say, boy, that's the saddest verses I think I've ever read, or some of the saddest ones in the Scripture as far as somebody passing away and a loved one leaving. But then when you get down to verse number 7, you see Solomon saying, so let me give you some principles for living. Let me give you some ideas, some directions, some guidance, some things to think about. And it kind of, I guess, should perk us up. He said, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. In other words, if you run the reference of that, and it'll take you back into Ecclesiastes, in other words, be thankful for what God's given you. And if you're blessed with food to eat, and as we see here, ointment on your head or decorations, wear it, use it, because the Lord's blessed you with that. And remember that. But remember, too, that's from God. That's nothing that came from you. That's something that God's provided you to do. So, well, I worked for it and I bought it. God gave you the health to go to work. God provided a job for you. All those things are God's. And that's what in Ecclesiastes with Solomon you'll see as you read and as you study, that he tries to point that out, that it's all of God. And that's why at the end he always says, what's the conclusion of this whole matter? Serve God and keep his commandments. And this continued reads in verse number 9, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life. And you find out that we all have a portion in life. In other words, I think it was it Wednesday night, Pastor mentioned, I guess it's over in Revelation, that to die in the Lord. What did you say? Some die in the Lord, Pastor, and some die outside the Lord. And I think that's Solomon here. He said, your portion in life, we die at different times. There's not a certain time frame. Well, everybody hits, 55 years old, or everybody hits 60 or 80 or whatever it is, and you die. Now, I know a few years back, that was kind of what was, and some truth in that, I think, of being pushed through the government of these healthcare plans, that once you hit a certain age, it was more, we'll put you out to pasture. And you can actually find, that's not the way it's written, but that's just the way I'll summarize it, because there's, no need putting investment in you anymore, and we can put that investment in a 20-year-old and get hopefully 50 more years of working out of them. What they forget, though, is generally that when they do that, they don't get anything back out of them, because that gets more into a socialist society. And here I'm getting way off track. But what I'm saying is the days that you've been allotted, they're different for all of us and for that time and what God's given us to enjoy. He said, all the days of thy vanity, that is thy portion of this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. And so, in other words, when he said their labor under the sun is your performance or your work, what the Lord allows you to do. Verse number 10, so whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And as you read and you look over to, where was that at? I think it's over in Romans or Corinthians. Yeah, I'd have to go back and look. Maybe 1 Corinthians. But it's at the end of the first, 14th chapter, 13th chapter. I'd have to go back and try to find it. But if you look, so whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, in other words, do it with all thy might. What the Lord have you to do it with everything that's in you. And you say, well, wait a second, he's saying above that it's principles for living. That's right. He tells us to enjoy our food and our drink and what God's blessed us with. And remember, it's all from God. Because remember, the first six verses, there's nothing that man can do about that. There's an appointed time to die, and it's for each one of us. But now in verses 7 through 10, he's saying, wait a second, here's some good principles for living. Enjoy the life. Enjoy the days the Lord gave you. Remember, they came from God. And whatever God would have you to do, and that's why I said if you run that reference and you look at that, that's what Solomon's referring to. You go over into the New Testament, he's saying, whatever you do, and it's Paul there talking, saying, do with all their might. Put all your effort into it. Give it everything you've got. Run the race with patience. But at the same time, give it everything you've got. Work with all your might because it's been blessed of God. That's what he's wanted you to do or appointed you to do or the path he's put you on, whether you're a pastor or teacher or whatever it may be. You're a prayer warrior and you help on Wednesday nights with the Wednesday night warriors or you drive the bus, whatever. Whatever it may be, give it all you've got. Because as he tells us the times above, everybody's time at some point comes up. Number comes up, so to speak, time. And we think, oh, that's so short. And a lot of times it is because we say life is like a vapor. But that takes us back to where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And Solomon brings us back around to that and says, put God first. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. In other words, once you pass away, once you die, there's no more time for that. There's no more time to work for God or to do what God would have you to do. And that's why I said when you go back over and you're reading, Paul at the time, it's his travels and he preached and he knew it'd be time to be absent with his body, be present with the Lord, but while he was still here, he still preached and did what God would have him to do. And as you follow that and you look at the other apostles as well, that's what they did. Think about James, the first martyr. And still, a fellow this week asked me, he said, oh, I'm teaching Sunday in James chapter 5. What do you think about that? And that's what he said. And I looked at him. I said, well, I think as I've been told, and I think it's true, you can go back to chapter 1 and start all over again. Because his question was, where are we going to go after that? He goes to a small church, and he said, you know, they want me to help with the Sunday school. And he said, if I have to get out of James chapter 5, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I said, well, just go back to chapter 1. I said, because there'll be plenty in there, and you can go right through it again. I said, and most people don't remember it anyway. I said, I don't either. And then we kind of laughed about it. And he said, well, I guess you're right. And I said, yeah. I said, but it's, I said, James is really a book, too, again, that gives us some good principles for living in the church today, in the New Testament church. And I think what Solomon's given us here is a basis of how to live our lives and how to approach life and death and how to look at that. And sometimes that's hard to do that. But anyway, as we look there and as we see, it said, whatever you find to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Verse number 11, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. And I looked at that. I've looked at that several times, and I've said, time and chance. I said, I always wanted to try to figure out an explanation to that. So that seems like to me it's just a roll of the dice. But verse number 12 said, for man also knoweth that not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds are caught up in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth and suddenly upon them. When it falleth suddenly upon them. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. In other words, Solomon here, he's saying, you know, that puzzled me as well. He said, the way men live, and he said, and they die, and it seems like they're like the fish that's caught in the net. One day they're doing fine, next day they're caught up in the net, the fish are, and they're no longer swimming free. Well, what happens? Is it just chance? Is it just random chance? This was a little, he said, there was a little city and few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. And there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard and quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. And I think as he gives us that parable there, Solomon does, is to go back and say, wait a second. He wasn't very wise, Solomon wasn't, and I wouldn't have been it either, and wasn't either, as you read that and see, so, well, that's just chance. Life's just roll the dice. And you hear some people say that. But what Solomon's saying there is there's no wisdom in that. Set the things of God aside. Then there's no wisdom in that. That's a fool. So the wise man realizes that there is a God. And as you'll go on and read in chapter 10, wisdom talks about wisdom and folly and compares the two. And over in chapter 11, talks about love. And, of course, we get in chapter 12 and we wrap up and talk about the fear of God and the whole duty of man. That's what follows this chapter as he talks about the principles of living. And he wraps up chapter number 9 by telling us, says, don't be foolish. And he gives an example of the one man, he was wise, and he saved the entire city. The city forgot all about him. In other words, even though the gospel's going out and it's being preached, and we've got missionaries all around the world, and you think, well, how can people not hear the gospel and be saved? They're still turning the other cheek. They're still turning the other way. They still refuse to hear God. They're fools. Because according to Ecclesiastes, as you look here and we read, and it says, And nor yet favor to men, but time and chance happen to them all. And yeah, there is some chance in life, but God's already knows. And I'm not talking about salvation, but I'm talking about he already knows our appointed times. He knows the time we're born, the time we're going to die. He knows everything about us. Knows the number of hairs on our head. Of course, I don't have many left. I went back to that same barber, and he said, I think we used number one last time. He got me again before I could ever move. And they got a close haircut again. I told somebody I was going to get a haircut, and I guess it looked bad because they said, you're not going to get it as close as you did last time, are you? And I said, no, I'm not. And then I got to go back to work Monday, and he says, it's going to be just as close. I'm going to wear a hat because they'll think that Brian's foolish. He's went to that same place again. He got to find somewhere else. But I like it because I can park right in the front. It's worth getting a short haircut because I can walk right in the door. I ain't got to walk a long way. The thing is, he must not want me coming back because he keeps cutting it shorter and shorter. And I'll come in here like Kojak next time, brother. He gets a razor out, I'm running. That's what Solomon wants us to understand. And just as we laugh there, and I want to try, but, you know, just try to, a little laughter and folly, and not folly, but not folly, but have a little laughter. No foolishness, no folly, but have love and fellowship with one another. As we look over, I think as we try to move that thought over in the New Testament, that's what God would have us to have now in the church. And I think that's what we're taught there. And we mentioned James earlier, mentioned Paul over in Corinthians, especially 2 Corinthians, as he goes through and straightens out the church at Corinth and gives them advice and lessons to live by. And just a couple places here, and I'll be done early today, it seems like. Over in Colossians, if you'll turn over, chapter 3, if I can find that here sometimes. I think it goes along with lessons to live by. I keep mentioning the New Testament, so I need to turn over here for a second. Chapter 3, and this is very common, familiar to you, verse number 17. And again, going back, talking about how we live our lives, and we think, oh, well, Solomon said they were by chance. This is random. But again, as you read down through there, and he gives a parable of the man that saved the city that was wise, and wisdom is much better than strength or numbers. Verse number 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. See, it goes right back to, lines right up with Ecclesiastes and what Solomon was writing to the children of Israel to tell them that there is a God. And again, you read it early on in Ecclesiastes, Solomon, I tell you, he tried everything, brought everything in that could be brought in, evidently, and from everything we ever read about Solomon. And I know Brother Thurman, he sent me some books there when I was in Houston, and one of them was on Solomon, and just, you know, scriptural base, but did some research, people did, and talked about his kingdom. I mean, it had to be just vast and wealthy, and I mean, they talked about what all it went all the way to the sea, and the ports they had, and what they shipped out, and what they brought in, exports and imports, and the money that brought in, and just a wealthy, wealthy nation, had everything. And for him to still say at the bottom line, so the most important thing is serving God. And as we see here in Colossians, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and to the Father by Him. Verse 18, again, advice for living. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. I'd read that, and that came back to memory. I recall Preacher Jack one time, he'd read that, and he said, that doesn't just mean doing the dishes. Well, I love you, honey, I did the dishes. And then you vanish into the garage or wherever it is. I forget exactly what he said after that. But I recall him saying, that's just not doing the dishes. And he might even said, I can't remember, I was going to say, might even said once a week. But he did say something about doing the dishes. That's more when it says love your wives, that's more than that. And children, obey your parents. You know, that's one commandment the children have in the Scripture that I've been able to find. Children, obey your parents. In all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. In other words, offer them guidance. Don't provoke them to anger. And you look at that and I think, well, that's 6 or 7-year-old or 4 or 5-year-old. And as our kids have grown, I thought, well, I can see that too as they're young and you don't want them to get resentful. And in other words, I don't want to use the word govern, but you're the authority in the house. The dad or the father, and you have to exert that authority, but you do it in love, not in beating a child down, not necessarily physically, but also mentally or emotionally. And as children grow older, I think that's where you see more of that. Provoke not your children to anger or discouragement, lest they be discouraged. Verse number 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And I see that more. Some people will read that now, and we've discussed that occasionally at work, there's a work group, and they meet over in John City, I think, Thursday mornings, and they'll have different passages and verses that come up, and sometimes I'll ask them what they discussed, and sometimes that one will come up, and they'll just pass over it, because they'll say, well, that was more in time when there were servants, or people waited on people, or they had slaves, and that kind of thing. I said, well, now, I said, just my opinion, I said, I think that sometimes selects us out, and they'll look at me real funny. I say, us as employees. I said, we're to obey in all things, our masters, place where we work, down on the job. I said, I read it that way. And of course, two or three of them, they said, well, I don't think we need to look at it that way. Brian really thinks we need to get with it. It's break time again. You know what I mean? And we laugh about that. But I think that is. So here we see that the home is the foundation. That's the first thing we're told here in Colossians, is that wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, and in the husband, in other words, love your wives, and be not bitter against them, and the children, obey your parents. As we get down here, and servants, in other words, when you go out of the home, this is how you need to obey if you're working for somebody. And if you're working for yourself, you're working to please God as well. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Here we had an evangelist come through here, and I'll never forget, he said, if you're going to stock shelves at the grocery store, you'd be the best grocery store stocker they got, because you're working for God, because that's who you represent when you're there. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to all men. Well, I got ahead of myself there. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Think about that. As our daily living, our daily walk. And so principles for living. And, that's about all I got this morning. We're a little early, a few minutes, but that had kind of stuck in my mind. And I didn't know how it was going yesterday, but as those people, they came over and helped, and one neighbor did, and then another neighbor stopped, and someone else come by, and I thought about, because when that guy got ready to leave, one thing he told me, he said, I got good neighbors, but he said, I don't know if I'll come over and work on a hot day. And I thought, that's his impression of them. That's what he saw. And good neighbors. But, see, everybody was gone. It was just he and I. He said that. He didn't tell them that. And so they'll never know. So think about that in our lives as we live. We live unto God. And, of course, Solomon tells us, I realize there's things you fret about, you worry about. There's things that happen under the sun, so to speak. And I think about that always. My way to think about that, because, again, Ecclesiastes, me, is one of the books that's really, really deep. All of them are really deep to me. But, I mean, Ecclesiastes, it really, you can get levels and dig down in it, because it's such a, so much wisdom there. But as it is in all the Bible. But when I think of under the sun, I think about just our daily living. And Solomon says, these things, they occur, and they're going to happen to everybody. And people die, and people live, and people eat and drink and whatever the Lord's blessed them with, enjoy it. But the bottom line, don't be a fool. Remember where it comes from. All right, we got time to visit this morning.